Father, we celebrate this morning that you loved us that much, that you came to us in Jesus Christ to enflesh your love so that we could receive so many things, primarily this morning, so that we could receive freedom from the bondage to secrets, that we don't have to hide anymore. You know all about us and you love us just the same, and in Jesus Christ, you can make us all that you call us to be. And that's exciting. And we pray that with new understanding, we'll look at this old, old story of the fact of Christ's forgiveness, and it'll become brand new for us right in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I do want to talk about secrets, the kind that are destructive and painful, those usually associated with active, unconfessed sin in our lives. Now, not all secrets are bad. Secrets can be precious expressions of love and loyalty by which we protect those nearest us. Friendships are sometimes based upon the ability to keep secrets. But hidden behavior, representing personal disobedience to God, is the kind of secret that can be catastrophic to physical, emotional, and spiritual health. And that's why the psalmist deals with it here in Psalm 32. Secret carrying is prevalent in the church because we're sinners, and therefore we have things to hide. Adding to the problem, Christians are often harsh and insensitive in dealing with each other's weaknesses, making church people the ones we fear most if our secrets were exposed. And unfortunately, usually the last people that we'd ever go to confess. I want us to consider what the Bible says about secrets by studying Psalm 32 with this goal in mind. I would hope that by the time we leave this church, we will have had opportunity to open every closet and get rid of every hidden agenda, that we'll have a chance to be whole people, because that's why Jesus is alive this morning. First, if you want to follow in the text, I think you might find it helpful there in Psalm 32. We find secrets are unnecessary for the Christian. God is ready right now to forgive and wash away any bondage you might be feeling to sin when we trust the work of Jesus on the cross. Our text says these beautiful words: blessed, happy, free, fulfilled is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit, no secrets. The psalmist is declaring here it's possible to live without secrets. Many of us are in bondage to hidden behavior because we don't really understand God's forgiveness. There are some of you who have been in this church for years, hiding and harboring things that you need not hide if you really believed in forgiveness. But the problem is, we don't feel there is any place to go with our guilt. And we're terrified of hurting those who would be affected if our secrets were exposed. And we can't imagine life after exposure. We limit God's ability to bring new beginnings out of the wreckage of our mistakes. Therefore, rather than confess, we hide. Gordon MacDonald describes how secret carriers invest huge amounts of energy into the task of cover-up. A drinker uses vodka to keep from having breath that will tell the story. An unfaithful partner lies to explain blocks of time when he or she has dropped out of sight. But I want us to understand, whatever our secret might be today, I want us to understand this treasure that we possess if we're Christians. Namely, God forgives us. And that's why Jesus came. Everyone here in this church this morning has done unbelievable things against God, and we've done them to each other. And nothing we can do will ever fix what we have broken. That's a lesson we learned in Romans. But God loves us so much in our brokenness, he sent Jesus to die on the cross. A fact we've been hearing all of our lives. But personal faith in Jesus and in his work on the cross provides this miracle. God forgives our sin, he covers it, he takes it away forever, and we don't have to hide anymore. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. I want to ask you, do you really believe that this morning? And if you do, why do you have secrets? I can't imagine living one day carrying the burden of my sin, because on a sermon like this, I can only preach about myself. I don't know about you. I know I would sink in a mire of despair over things I've done and I cannot undo. Faith in God's forgiveness enables me to open those closets, unveil my secrets because I'm forgiven, just exactly because my sin is covered. I don't have to hide anymore from God. He has cleansed me, and therefore, I don't really have to hide from you. For years, I've sought to be honest in this pulpit, not because I have a need to confess to you. I think rather I like to demonstrate the freedom God gives one broken preacher so that by modeling it, you can find that freedom. I don't have to pretend on a Sunday morning to be anything more than I am, a sinner continually saved by God's amazing grace. That means secrets are unnecessary. And that's freedom. Last night, Jane was so cute. Jane Van Wyck is our children's pastor, for you visitors. She did a children's story, and she had her robe on. And she began to tell these kids that they don't have to have secrets, and how we up here, we might look so holy in these robes, but we're really not. And she began to take off her robe. And she had the most awful, horrible outfit on that you could ever believe under her robe. And her robe was covering it up. And it was a story those kids will never forget. Namely, that preachers and pastors and Christians aren't perfect. We're just forgiven. Jesus has covered us over. That's the good news. And I always want to say, why is it so shocking then when we discover stuff about each other in church? Or, you know, why is it really so shocking when you discover things about a pastor? What's the difference? Come up and put a robe on and you're just like me. We're covered with the robe of Christ's righteousness. That's our only claim to fame. And I want us to know that. Now, unfortunately, even though secrets are unnecessary, in spite of this incredible gift of forgiveness, many of us choose to hide certain behavior patterns even this morning. Why? If you believe in God's forgiveness, there is only one reason why we are still hiding behavior, and that is we are engaged in behavior we don't want to confess and we don't want to change. That's called sin. And that fact leads us to a second truth about secrets. They're unnecessary unless we don't want to change. Now, if you don't want to change, you need to know this. Carrying secrets is very self-destructive. The psalmist writes, "When I declared not my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." You who fear the cost of confession, you who fear the cost of changing behavior, consider the cost of secrets. A person who carries a secret has sentenced himself to a dungeon of anxiety, remorse, fear. Every word must be guarded. Stomach tickles become daily companions as one ponders the implications if hidden behavior is exposed. Secret carrying is deadly to us spiritually, emotionally, and physically. The psalmist said his hidden sin actually made his body waste away, or bluntly, rot. Research shows stress does impact our muscular, our nervous, our cardiovascular, our digestive, and our immune systems. God made us. He's our creator. And sin literally destroys what God made. It upsets the balance in our health. We're no longer whole. Last week, the secret corrupt life of a politician was exposed, and he fell in public disgrace. I had compassion on him as I thought about the months of anxiety before his conviction, the humiliation of exposure, the agony of guilt. Secret carrying creates a gap between our public and our private world, and that's hell. So bottom line, the text says, no one gets away with secret sin. Ultimately, secrets will destroy us. It's only a matter of time. And that fact leads to a third and wonderful part of the text. Confession to God breaks our bondage to secrets. That's one of the great functions of worship and the church, to give us a chance today to come to God and confess. The psalmist says, I acknowledged my sin to thee, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and then thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. Verse 5. In confession, we say to God in prayer, I have committed an offense against you. I agree my life won't work if I disobey your laws. I have deceived myself and those to whom I've lied, and I'm sorry. And I'm ready to turn from my sin and follow your will if you will help me. You've probably heard this promise throughout your life if you've been coming to church, but I'd like you to hear it today for the first time in reference to your closet. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just, and He will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To rid ourselves of secrets by confession means we do an inventory like an alcoholic who starts AA. We admit we're powerless over our secret and our lives have become unmanageable. We're willing to make a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves and agree with God that sin is sin. We admit to God and to ourselves the exact nature of our wrongs. And with God's help, we decide to stop engaging in that behavior. Confession leads to freedom. If you've been coming here for the last few months through our study in Romans, we've talked much about addiction to sin and how we're all addicts. We don't do the things we want to do, and the evil we don't want to do, we do. And Paul said, God help me, how do I get out of this trap? And the only answer was Jesus Christ. And we've challenged you, what changes are you making in your life this year so that by June of this 1990, as a result of attending here for a year, what changes are really going to happen in your life? What closets will be opened? What new steps will you be taking? What new part of you will Jesus own? Well, this is what this sermon is all about. Letting the Lord Jesus Christ be Lord of areas in our life where this morning He isn't, and that part where He isn't is slowly poisoning us. Talk to someone who's harbored secret sin, and then who confessed it to God, who repented and broke free. Confession literally does spell relief in the most literal sense of the word. I was talking with a minister last week who lost his church due to immoral behavior. He was splashed all over the pages. His whole family was really humiliated. But you know, he confessed his sin. He repented and he sought healing with his wife. After months of counseling, he started a new ministry and a new church with emphasis on the freedom and hope that Jesus offers to broken people. He's sort of like Father Damien now. You remember when he worked in the leper colony for years, he had very little impact. He was working with lepers until he himself contracted leprosy. And the day he got up and said, my fellow lepers, that's when his ministry began. And in a sense, I had to feel, maybe this is what was happening to this pastor. This man is free. No one can hurt him anymore. Confession will close some doors. He had to leave one church, but by God's grace, new doors open. Now he's got a very effective ministry. That same scenario can be worked out in every life here today. God has new beginnings for those who have the courage to confess. A final PS about secret caring. We can engage in preventative medicine that will reduce our susceptibility to behavior that must be hidden. This is very important. The Bible urges us not to grow weary in well-doing. When our bodies and our emotions and our minds are stretched to the limit, the risk of making sinful choices dramatically increases. Weariness can lead to burnout followed by irresponsible behavior. Many Christians have made decisions they'll regret the rest of their lives because they acted under the influence of fatigue. Some cars have a voice that says, your fuel level is low. I don't know if you've ever heard that. They seem to get some special voice that gets your attention. I suggest we need to listen to those voices in our soul, because they are there that tell us when our fuel level is low, in order to avoid weariness that leads us to disobey God's rules. Every Easter, Florida is inundated with young people. Gordon MacDonald was quoting one young man as saying, there's a time to be serious and a time to be out of control. Spring break is my time to be out of control. That's what happens to Christians who fall victim to behavior that has to be hidden. They feel they've earned the right to be out of control in spite of the consequences of tomorrow. And so they often do things they'll regret the rest of their lives. In early 1988, Charles and Diana, Prince and Princess of Wales, took some friends on a skiing trip to Switzerland. News came one afternoon that a terrible accident had killed one of the prince's lifelong friends and seriously injured another. The prince and his party had decided they'd go beyond the fences of safety for the optimum fun of skiing in the best snow. Avalanche warnings had been posted, but they were ignored. Well, like the prince and his party, Christians can become tired of fences that we think are robbing us of life at its best. We get so stressed we feel we've earned the right to ignore an avalanche warning. Naively, we believe it's possible to sneak away from God and not suffer consequences. The warning, watch out for burnout. Fatigue often leads us to venture into forbidden behavior that must be hidden. So, as we close, let me review the happy news that this scripture tells us about secrets. First, understand it's not necessary for Christians to carry secrets. Understand secrets are dangerous to our spiritual, our emotional, and our physical health. Understand we can confess to God our sin and find freedom from bondage to our secrets. Understand we can help prevent secrets by adopting a lifestyle that doesn't cause a weariness that makes us vulnerable to temptation. The psalmist gave this prayer, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." As we close this morning, I would like us just to, before we sing, do a little inventory for a moment. I don't know what buttons this sermon preached, as it was preached, pushed in you. I do know that probably the older we are, the more secrets we have. I would just guess that's true. If you felt you had no secrets, you're either an unusual person or you're out of touch. Maybe your secrets are so horrid you can't even think about them. I don't know why God brought you to church, and I don't know what work He wants you to do, but I do believe in the power of this word. So we're going to take just a minute or so and let you do an inventory and let the Holy Spirit kind of take you on a tour of your soul and see if there's anything that needs cleaning out, any closet that you'd like to invite the Lord in to wash for you. Because I can tell you, on the basis of everything I believe, if you confess your sin today in any secret, you can leave here free. I'm not suggesting that you tell everybody else these secrets. Most of us Christians can't handle them, unfortunately. But you can tell God, and once you're set with Him, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. That's freedom. That's grace. Let's take a moment and just do some business with the Lord before I close in prayer. You that it's really true that if we confess our sins, you will forgive us and set us free. Bless us now as we grasp that promise personally and leave here with clean slates. In Jesus' name, amen.